Zorba Pastor on Your Health is pre-recorded.
From Buck Studio at Wisconsin Public Radio, this is Zorba Pastor on Your Health. I'm Carl Christensen, and I'm here with family doc Zorba Pastor. We'll spend the next hour with you in our virtual doctor's office. Although, Zorba, we're actually missing that, you know, that scale that I swear it's calibrated always like 5 or 10
That's
pounds
right.
too
That's
heavy.
Right.
Why do they do that?
No, it's a gravity issue.
What is the
gravity
deal?
Under the scale is actually much stronger than the gravity off the scale.
Why do you doctors do that to us? Anyways, we'll talk healthy living. We'll walk through a healthy recipe. We'll get to some of your phone calls and emails and a few of your voicemails as well. And if you have a question for the good doc, the number to call anytime is 800-462-7413. That's 1-800-462-7413. And along with those calls, Zorba, we have a few healthy living topics today.
Eat your veggies first. Isn't that what your mom said?
Just eat them in general.
Yeah, just eat them in general. That's right.
That's a win
just
right there.
Just eat them in general. Yeah. That's it. But it may be the order that you actually eat your food may actually affect your health. Kind of interesting, provocative research. I mean, you know, I can imagine eating dessert first, but starting with broccoli, I'm not sure about that. Anyway, very interesting study. And then, are naps good for you? Do you nap?
I wish I could. I used to. Before I had kids, I used to nap.
Yeah, well, maybe the problem is children. Yeah. Don't have children, take a nap.
This one I'm interested in for sure. I want to know if they're good.
And then we've got a great recipe, grape and feta salad. Mm-hmm. This is a wonderful, simple recipe, something you can actually have tonight if you've got all the ingredients. You can easily put it together in about 5 minutes.
It sounds great. All right, to the phones we go at 800-462-7413. That's 1-800-462-7413. Let's go to a caller now in Kewaunee, Wisconsin. Hi.
Hi.
How can we help?
I was calling, so it's kind of a two-parter, but I want to know what the difference between dairy in the food we eat is and the dairy in my breast milk, and also the dairy that I ingest. How does that affect my now recently diagnosed 13-month-old with a dairy allergy? How does my body break down dairy to possibly affect her or not?
Oh, sure. These are, by the way, are good questions. So first of all, tell me about your child. What sort of allergy, what sort of reaction is going on?
So we just started noticing this past summer. I can for sure remember at the Kewaunee Fair, I was letting her have some of my ice cream, which, you know, doesn't go directly in her mouth. It goes around.
She becomes the cone, right?
yeah. After a few bites, she had hives around her mouth.
Oh.
And so we stared at her very intensely, and they went away in about 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then we noticed with mac and cheese and yogurt. And then Dad decided one day to let her suck on a Dorito, and that also did it. So I stopped giving her that altogether.
Sure. Doritos are not lactose, by the way. But I don't know if they had lactose in there. So basically, you've had to stop all dairy products at this time.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And, you know, I wouldn't. You know, if I gave her something with, you know, if I gave her a piece of a string cheese or a part of my sandwich that had cheese, you know, I never noticed a hive outbreak. I also have a 5-year-old, so paying attention to that's hard.
Oh, right. It's very difficult. There's good news and bad news here. So first of all, a lot of kids have allergies to some kind of food, egg, milk, other things, that they tend to, quote, grow out of. I don't know if they really grow out of it, but kids grow, and then later on, they don't seem to have the same problem. So the good news is that whatever she's allergic to now, she may not be allergic to later on. But the bad news is you got to deal with this and figure out what she can tolerate and what she can't tolerate. So what did your doctor say about this? Have you gone to your doc?
We did, yes. She says that we could continue to... So my first issue is the breastfeeding because she's still exclusively breastfed. I mean, she's eating more foods. She also has zero teeth at 13 months old, so that's more of a challenge with what she eats. But the dairy that I ingest,
is not at all going to affect it. You make your own milk. The dairy that you drink doesn't go into your breast. The dairy you drink, you then digest that, and then you make breast milk out of that, but it doesn't go from one to the other. It's not a direct correlation.
Right. Well, like anything, you know, like my body breaks it down enough mm-hmm. where like even all those proteins and properties wouldn't sure. transfer over because some of the things I ingest would go into, would go
and right into, well, like milk, right? like alcohol. I mean, if you drank alcohol, drink enough alcohol, there's a certain amount of alcohol that goes into your breast milk. Or if you look at illicit drugs, obviously, they go into the body. They can go into the breast milk too. But when it comes to regular food, you digest the food and then you metabolize it and then you produce breast milk from that. So okay. it shouldn't really affect her in an allergic way at all. Now, I may be wrong. It may be that some mothers have found, indeed, when they eat certain foods, their child breaks out. But on the other hand, there are things that have to do with hives and things that we really don't understand, in that kids that become very sensitive just are sort of super sensitive to everything.
Okay.
So let me try to figure it out. So right now, you're trying different milk foods or milk products. What are you giving her besides breast milk?
Yeah, she's now drinking soy milk.
Okay.
And then I've just been giving her vegan substitutes, but sure. The doctor said that I could give her milk that's baked or cooked into things. Mm-hmm. So anything I can put in the oven at 350 for 30 minutes that I should continue to give to her, mm-hmm. which I have not done yet because I don't have any of those recipes on hand, but...
Yeah, I'm not sure why it would have to be at 350 degrees for 30 minutes. I don't know where
that...
I think
it's supposed to be, like, cooked out or something. Uh-huh. Like, I can't give her raw dairy. I can give her cooked
So let me give some suggestions. So, first of all, you can certainly get her allergy tested, and that is one possibility. So just sort of put that in your...
We did.
Oh, you did? Oh.
Oh, so, yeah, sorry. Yep, they scratched her back with the histamine, the saline, and then milk, and they did the... You said they did the milk protein, you know, scratch.
So who gave you the advice on cooking things? Was that the allergist?
The allergist, yep.
Oh, okay. So the allergist would be the one. Then I would depend on that. I don't know if they cook it out, but it may be that it denatures the protein enough so they think the protein is the issue. Okay, well, I would follow that. Go to the web, look for some vegan recipes and other recipes or some sort of dairy product, and be assured chances are she will grow out of this in time. But she does need other food besides breast milk at the age of 13 months. That's critical.
Yeah.
How much does she weigh?
She weighs about 20 pounds.
Oh, 20 pounds at 13 months? She's getting lots of food. She's really... Was that your child?
That was her, right?
That was her.
Oh, yeah.
She knows you're on the radio.
Well, thanks for your call. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. I really appreciate it.
Hey, you take care now.
Yeah, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Thanks so much for that call at 800-462-7413. I just want to chime in really quickly because she did mention Doritos.
Yes.
And I'm kind of a Dorito expert.
Right.
I don't know if you knew that about me.
No,
I love Doritos.
I didn't know it. I see it on your clothing all the time. I see the chips.
I got some orange powder all over me, all over my
what
fingers.
What is that orange powder?
I have Dorito fingers right now.
Yeah. You know, it's a it's not natural Doritos.
I've heard that. There's probably 50 ingredients in those.
At least.
But there is some dairy. There is cheese. There's butter. There's definitely some dairy.
Dairy and Doritos?
So
you mean you can eat your Doritos and you can get dairy? That'll count as dairy in your diet?
I don't think it counts as dairy like, it's a good amount of dairy. I'm just trying to say there's a reason maybe why her child broke out when she sucked on a Dorito for a while. Because there is a little bit of it. I just want to make sure the Dorito, I'm trying to fend off the Dorito police ahead of time.
I know as soon as you said,
there's no dairy in Doritos.
That's right. But maybe it's eating the Dorito and it's that chippy stuff that falls under it that causes the allergy too. You never really know.
You never know. Who knows what's in that powder?
That's right.
800-462-7413. That's 1-800-462-7413. All right, Zorba, let's get our first healthy topic today. Let's talk
healthy. Why do they have to be healthy? Why don't we have unhealthy topics?
Well, this is about vegetables, right?
Yeah, it's not about Doritos.
It's not about Doritos.
That's right.
So apparently, there's new research that it matters what order you eat your meal.
Well, maybe it's a very
the food on your plate.
It's a small study, very small study, but it's very interesting. And the scientists in this particular study were looking at not just what you eat, but the order of what you eat for things. So a number of studies, that's what they looked at eating fiber-rich vegetables and protein, at the beginning of the meal and eating carbohydrates later on in the meal.
Okay.
So in other words, getting protein in your stomach, getting fiber in your stomach may essentially change how you metabolize the carbohydrate like rice or bread or pasta.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of interesting. So instead of having a bread basket at your table in a restaurant, maybe what you should do is have a broccoli basket and eat that in the table. And so does meal sequencing make a difference? And it's really kind of interesting because I've never really looked at anything that looked at evaluating the order at which you eat things. But it may turn out that if you sequence things differently, it may change it. So they're looking at GLP-1. Now, GLP-1 is a satiety hormone that we look at that essentially, when you look at Ozempic and other drugs, it really affects the GLP-1 inhibitors. That's the whole thing. And it turns out that GLP-1 is very important in how we feel, like how we eat, and whether or not we feel satisfied. And it may be that the order of the food you have may affect GLP-1. So it's an interesting idea. And I think if you're trying to lose weight, you may want to change the order of what you're eating. You may not want to have carbohydrates at the beginning of the meal, like a bread basket or something that has lots of carbs. You may want to have vegetables in there, or you may want to have fruit.
Mm-hmm.
You may have an apple at the beginning of your meal, but it may change how you metabolize food or how you feel at the end of the meal. In other words, maybe you get satisfied differently.
Mm-hmm.
So how would you do that with your kids at home?
Well, as you were saying this, I was thinking
about... Yeah, I could see how you're thinking.
I was thinking... You smell wood burning, right? You knew I was thinking.
I smell...
I was thinking about my Grandpa
smell
Philip.
Smell wood burning. I've not heard that before.
That's what my dad used to say. I'd say, Dad, I've been thinking. And he'd say, oh, I thought I smelled wood burning.
It's obviously... Yeah.
But no, my Grandpa Philip, so my dad's dad... He would always say, don't fill up on bread or don't fill up on chips.
Uh-huh.
Like we'd go to Chi-Chi's like as a family once
Chi-Chi's,
a year.
Right.
Remember
Chi-Chi's? I remember Chi-Chi's.
Do they still have Chi-Chi's?
I don't know. I love Chi-Chi's.
Yeah.
Remember
they
fried
bring
ice
out
cream.
Just tons. Yeah,
yeah, tons of chips.
Chips and salsa.
Ice cream.
And we would just.
Chimichanga.
The kids would go
wasn't
crazy.
That something that was deep fried?
Mm-hmm.
And,
oh, yeah.
Oh,
those are
delicious.
Great.
Yeah, they're great.
Let's do
that
for recipes. Yeah. No, so Grandpa's there and he's watching us just eat baskets and baskets of chips. And he would just get so upset that he couldn't get through the meal. He was so mad at us and just yelling, don't fill up on chips.
But I find that difficult. I was just in New York City recently and I love different kinds of bread. And a bread basket came to the table and I loved it because it was really good bread.
Mm-hmm.
So I have that issue with carbohydrates. So maybe, and you do too.
Oh, for sure. Especially if they bring out bread and like maybe olive oil, I just go to town.
Right.
On that
and
stuff.
Why have the entree?
Yeah, exactly.
Should just be olive oil, bread, salad, and dessert. That's it. That's right. The
is
new
this
order.
The new Zorba
the
Mediterranean.
New order. You got it.
Bread
that's
diet.
That's the real Mediterranean diet.
800-462-7413. That's 1-800-462-7413. Let's go to a voicemail now. This is a listener from Lake Mills, Wisconsin.
Hey, Dr. Zorba. My question has to do with high pressure canners. Are they safer than water bath canners? My wife and I have been having this debate for years, and we finally broke down and did buy a high-pressure canner, and it seems to me that they do seal better, but I would like to know your opinion on that. And my second question is, when canning tomatoes, if there's a little bit of blight in the tomato, we tend to cut it out. But I happen to cut out like about a third of a less blight than my wife does. Her blight pile is a lot bigger than my blight pile. And I want to know just how important is it to cut out the blight when you're canning tomatoes? Thank you very much.
So real quick, if I could just jump in, Zorba, we get tons of voicemails and we love it. Thanks.
Yeah,
we get so many different kinds of questions from listeners.
Right.
And I don't think we've had a canning question before. And I guess you could say it's a healthy topic,
healthy living question. Have you ever canned?
I don't can at all.
Oh.
I don't even know. I just want to throw a canning question at you. Do
I
you can at all?
Oh, okay, I canned
good.
All the time.
Awesome.
I canned for about, I don't know, I had a huge garden. And at one time, one summer, I canned 50 quarts of tomatoes.
Ooh, wow.
50. So, number one, high-pressured canning, follow the USDA recommendations for canning. That's important. And the reason is you want to make sure all those bacteria are out.
Right.
And so it's very important when it comes to tomatoes, but more important when it comes to other vegetables. Now, as for blight, it only makes a difference in taste because basically anything that's in there, they're usually not bacteria, but they may be a fungi. They're going to be destroyed when you use a high-pressure canning. Mm-hmm. So if his blight pile is less than his wife's blight pile, the real question is there a difference in taste between his tomatoes and her tomatoes?
They should do an experiment.
Well, more than that, but they should do an experiment and come back to us, and then I'll be the judge.
You want to taste the blight?
I got it.
Blight versus no blight.
But yes, you do want to follow USDA recommendations because that's the safest way to do it.
So there's no blight hazard involved.
No blight hazard. So let me ask you a question. Do you have a garden?
Yeah, kind of small one.
You mean like
my
a
daughter
plant?
Has a garden. What my 5-year-old daughter has a garden.
What kind of garden?
She's got a couple. She's got one tomato plant.
Do you have sun around your house? Do you have a lot of sun?
Yep.
Okay. Why don't you get some tomato plants?
We should. It's on the list of things to do.
Well, and then after you get tomato plants, look at how you can make stuff and put it away. Now you can also freeze it.
Mm-hmm.
You could make tomatoes. You have a deep freezer?
Not a big one. No, a regular freezer. We don't have one of those huge.
You don't have a freezer in your basement?
We have a regular fridge in the basement, too, that's known as like the beer fridge.
Well, beer, you can't
freeze.
But
it does have a freezer in it.
Beer?
It's mostly full of frozen pizzas right now.
Frozen pizzas. So wait a minute.
It's a healthy living show, right?
I'm going to get this straight. There are Doritos in the basement, bags of Doritos, frozen pizza. You like frozen pizza and beer so much. You have a refrigerator in the basement that's filled with beer and frozen pizza.
I feel like I'm being called out right now.
That's it. No vegetables. Maybe that occasional like frozen corn in case you run out of upstairs. I'm a healthy person, aren't I? That's right.
I'm trying to weasel out of this. Can we go on here? Can we move on? As Tom would say, moving right along. 800-462-7413. That's 1-800-462-7413. All right, before the break, Zorba, we love when our listeners chime in to add their healthy living tips to the show. So the following email is from Dan in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, who writes, "Hi, Zorba and Carl. I have a solution for earworms." You know, earworms, where a song gets stuck in your head.
Right.
It's an earworm.
You have to explain. Earworms are not a common thing for people to hear.
They're not?
No.
They're so common for me.
If you say an earworm, some people will think it means a worm that's in your ear.
Like the Wrath of Khan, the Star Trek. Remember that scene?
Oh, yeah. Terrible.
That one haunted me as a kid.
That's right.
Anyway, okay, back to the email.
But an earworm is a song that plays over and over again
in
your head.
Exactly. Right. Okay, I have a solution.
What's playing now?
Right now?
Yeah.
Maybe just I'm haunted by you talking about the unhealthy food I have in my. It's not in, the earworm is your voice, actually, not a song. Okay. Dan says, "I have a solution for earworms. It's a process called stop thought. Uh-huh. I get a lot of reading thoughts, especially at night.
Sure.
What I was told was to slam your fist on a table and say, stop. What I can do now is just say to myself, stop, so I don't do the fist slam anymore. It works really well for me. What do you think of this? Uh-huh. What do you think of this method?"
Well, first of all, I think it's a great method.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is, how do we stop those recurrent thoughts of hearing something over and over and over and over again,
mm-hmm.
you know, in perseveration? And it really is an issue with some people, so they can't move forward. I mean, so you may find it annoying. I may find it annoying with certain things, but it can interfere with concentration when you're doing work.
Yeah.
So some people actually, a lot of people play music or noise in their ears, just like with tinnitus. So basically, their auditory canal is doing different things. In other words, when you have a sound in your ear, be it noise or something else, some people find they can concentrate. Now, it's interesting because when I write my column, sometimes I'm writing something, but I have other thoughts that come in that bother me.
Mm.
And there's certain music that I can listen to that destroy those other thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Haydn.
Okay.
But I can't listen to Beethoven. I can't listen to Wagner. I can't listen to anything. It turns out that Haydn destroys that in my brain. Now, why does that happen? I don't have any idea.
I know why it happens.
Why?
It's good at hiding those thoughts.
Jesus. That's moving.
No, you want to move on, huh?
Moving right along.
I get these earworms all the time, actually.
No, you get advertising earworms. You've missed.
The puns are earworms. Missed. They won't go you away. Missed. How can I get rid of them? But I want to test out Oklahoma City Dan's method. Should we try to do that on the show and see if this stops?
Sure.
Stop. What's it called again? Yeah. Stop Thought. That's what it's called. Mm-hmm. So there's a whole lot of earworms, common earworm songs. Uh-huh. I went through a couple lists online, picked a song. Mm-hmm. This is Rick Astley's 1987 smash hit. This is Never Gonna Give You Up. So let's hear that song.
That's the name of the song?
That's the name of the song. Never Gonna Give You Up. Okay. I know you know it. Brad, why don't you play that and let's see if you know the song. I bet you know this. Let's hear that one. We hear this in dentist's offices, grocery store, or whatever.
It was all over the place. Right.
Okay. Is it stuck in your head yet?
Yeah, it's stuck in my head.
Okay. You can fade that one out. Okay, Zorba, now, it's stuck in your head.
It's in my head.
So let's try Oklahoma City Dan's method here. Okay. So you say stop and slam your fist down.
Okay, stop. Have time. Go with the phone. It is
sick. Okay, wait a second. Wait.
This can face even more. Oh, no. It's enough. My heart.
Okay, wait.
Stop.
Stop.
In the name of love.
Stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. I think we took this bit way too far.
I think so. We can stop the bit and let's move on.
Do you have a health tip for the show? Send us an email at
Zorba@WPR.org.
Or where else?
On the web, at Facebook?
That's the one.
That's the one.
More of your calls to come, more emails, more listener voicemails, and we'll be putting together a grape and feta salad. All coming up on Zorba Pastor on Your Health from PRX. Carl Christensen in the studio with Dr. Zorba Pastor. The number to call anytime with your healthy living question is 800-462-7413. That's 1-800-462-7413. But before we get back to your calls, Zorba, we got a recipe here, grape and feta salad. This seems really simple and tasty.
Yeah, it is simple. And do you like feta?
I love feta.
Do you like blue cheese?
I love blue cheese.
Yes, yeah, so you could do this with blue cheese also.
Sure.
Very, very easy. So let's do the dressing itself.
Okay.
So a tablespoonful of some sort of an oil. So it could be olive oil, could be avocado oil, could be there's hazelnut oil. There are a whole bunch of different oils out there. Then juice from a lemon, either a regular lemon or a Meyer lemon, but a juice from a lemon. You got to have some lemon juice.
Juice from one Meyer lemon or any old lemon.
Yeah. Half teaspoon of kosher salt.
Half little tea kosher salt.
And then a few rounds of ground black pepper.
What are rounds of pepper? I've never heard rounds used.
Yeah, because you're going around when you're using a twist grinder.
That's a twist. Gotcha.
Twist. How many pepper grinders do you have?
Just one. Should I have more than one?
Oh, yeah. I've got like three or four.
Why?
You don't have a... Well, because some are really easier to use larger... Why? Why?
I'm so suspicious of this.
Why? That's right. Dorito Man is asking why I have multiple pepper grinders, whereas he has sports drinks in the basement and frozen pizzas
in the freezer because
you always want to have ground pepper at hand, one on the table, one in the cabinet. Otherwise, how are you going to find your pepper? You got to go to the table.
Okay, gotcha.
Aren't you always misplacing the pepper grinder?
It's usually always in one spot right by the oven, so... As long as someone puts it back there, it's okay.
So you don't have it on the table? You have it by the oven?
No, the table's just full of kids' crap.
Yeah. Kids. Yeah, table's kids' crap.
Homework.
All right, let's go to the salad. So 2 cups of baby spinach.
2 cups baby spinach.
2 cups of arugula.
2 cups of arugula.
1 cup of a grape, some kind of a seedless grape.
Okay, grape is your choice.
Half cup of sliced almonds.
Half a cup of sliced almonds.
And 1/4 cup of crumpled feta. In a medium bowl, Add the oil, lemon juice, salt, and pepper. Whisk until combined. And use as much pepper as you want to. I've been a love pepper, so I put more on. Then in a large bowl, spinach, arugula, grapes, sliced almonds. Mix it around. And then when it's all finished being mixed, then put in the dressing and drizzle the dressing in and mix it, because you may want to use all of the dressing you have, or you may want to put in a little more arugula, a little more baby spinach, because you want to do it to the taste that you want. Now, my wife used to love things that we used to say, do you like to have salad with your dressing? Because you'd put on enormous amounts of dressing. Whereas I like to have small amounts of dressing. That's exactly. And then garnish it on the top with the almonds and the feta. So you mix everything together except the almonds and the feta. On top of it, you put the almonds and the feta. That's it. You're done.
That's simple recipe.
Try it tonight. You can get this recipe by going to our website, zorbapastor.org. That's zorbapastor.org. Or, of course, through Facebook.
800-462-7413. That's 1-800-462-7413. All right, let's go back to the phones. This is a caller now in Madison, Wisconsin. Hi.
Hi. It's so great to be on your show. Thanks so much for having my call.
Oh, it's great to have you. Thank you.
Thanks. So I am a software developer, and I work from home. And I tend to like to sit on my couch or a comfy chair. And usually I'm good enough to, like, move around, or it doesn't bother me that much. But sometimes I get into the state of, like, really sore low back pain. And especially lately, I've been on the floor a lot, working on my large costume.
On the floor doing what? Working on what?
A large costume that I don't have space for on a table. So I'm on the floor.
Halloween costume?
Yeah.
You got to tell us what it is.
Yeah, right.
I'm Rita Repulsa from the Power Rangers of the 90s.
That sounds great.
My friends and I are all doing Power Ranger monsters and Power Rangers.
I got the image.
Anyway, so I've been having a lot of low back pain lately.
And
I know, like, things I can do long term to make it better, but I'm wondering what kind of advice you have for getting some immediate relief. I've heard mixed things about using a foam roller on your low back. I'm also a side sleeper, and I get a lot of neck pain. And I've tried this, like, foam wedge that's supposed to help with traction. And I'm just wondering, what your advice is, if there's a good pillow I can get as a side sleeper.
Well, first of all, let's talk about the sleeping issue, because that really is important. So, and there's a lot of baloney when it comes to mattresses. I just want to say that. Lots of baloney. The New Yorker had a great article about somebody who was trying to figure out what mattress to get. And it came up with the fact that, you know what? You get a mattress that feels right to you, and you don't have to spend $10,000.
Yeah, they can get really expensive.
Oh, yeah. But the important thing with sleeping, I think, are the pillows that you have around you. In other words, you want to try different pillows. Side pillows, big pillows, small pillows, travel pillows, so that you can get yourself into a position on your side. I happen to be a side sleeper, that is comfortable for you, and you've got enough way of sort of buttressing that around. So I definitely would try a side pillow, but I would try different pillows. And for me, it took me a long time to find the pillows that work for me, because I have chronic back pain. But I have a whole bunch of pillows, and they change. So every day, I find that I sort of wedge them differently. The second thing is, one of the issues that we have with everyone who works on a screen is we sit in a stultified position and we don't move. It's like, okay, let's just go into slow-mo, and then we don't move because we're looking at the screen. We don't blink with our eyes as much, and we don't get up. So from a point of view of what's happening during the day, it doesn't matter what you're doing your computer work on, you do have to set an alarm, and every 30 minutes to 45 minutes, you actually have to get up and move around. And that really is such a key issue. I cannot tell you how important it is. You can do stretches, or you can just get up and get yourself, you know, some water to drink and sort of stretch and get on your legs a little bit and then go back and sit down. And unfortunately, that can disturb your concentration. So if it doesn't work every half hour, at least do it like every hour. But every half an hour to 45 minutes during the daytime is really going to be your key. Because like you said, you're sitting there, and being on the couch is fine if it's comfortable. Is it comfortable for you?
Yeah, I love being on the couch.
Yeah, you love it. How often do you get out of the program you're working and go surf socially on your web, check your voicemail or check your email or something else?
During the day, I don't do that very much. In software development, it's like there's never-ending things to do. But I definitely do that in the evening.
But the reason is, what I'm thinking is, if you're not concentrating, you can find a time where you're in between one spot and another spot, and whatever you're working with your brain, and that's the time to get off. And then you set your watch as not an alarm to get off, but you have to get up at that time if you haven't reached the alarm state. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's very smart. Good idea.
Because you got to do that. Otherwise, what's going to happen is you're going to continue to have chronic back pain. And you don't want to have to take anti-inflammatories, or you don't want to have to put, you know, like a Lidoderm patch on your back. You don't want to do something like that. You want to figure out a natural way to do this. Now, I've got another question. How does your back feel when you're working on your costume?
It's worse on the costume because sitting on the floor is very hard for me. So, it's been bad this week.
So, did you sew when you were younger? Did your mother have a sewing machine?
She did, yes. Uh-huh. I did a little bit. Yeah. And I have a sewing machine.
You have a sewing machine. You have a sewing machine. That's what I figured. If you're making a costume, you must have a sewing machine. That's exactly. Yeah. Do you sew, Carl?
I couldn't sew my way out of a paper out bag. Paper. That's not even a real phrase.
Sew my way out of a that's paper nothing. Bag.
Strike that on the record.
Good.
Thanks for your call. Good luck. But that's what I would do.
So
pillows and moving during the daytime, getting up from that position during the daytime.
Great ideas. Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thanks so much for that call at 800-462-7413. That's 1-800-462-7413. All right. Before the break, Zorba, I'm going to need you to take a breath.
Wait a minute.
Prepare yourself for what I'm about to tell you.
Okay.
You ready?
I'm ready.
Not everybody agrees with you.
Okay. Oh.
Did you know that?
God, I didn't know that. I didn't know that at all.
And we made a whole segment about it when people don't. This is actually disagreeing with the doc.
Disagreeing with the doc. Disagreeing with the doc.
But do I have to agree with them when they disagree with me?
No, no. Okay. You can have a healthy back and forth, a one-way conversation on the radio with yourself.
That's right.
All right. The following email came from John in Monona, Wisconsin. Hi, Dr. Zorba. When the topics of multivitamins or herbal supplements come up, you usually tell people to get them at a big box store and buy the store brand because, quote, they stand behind their products. Knowing that you're a man of science, I'm wondering what research illuminates that advice. From my experience, it's next to impossible to get a meaningful response from a big box store. They're driven by earning profits for their owners and shareholders, not what's best for their customers. If a particular product line doesn't produce the desired profits or becomes too troublesome, they will merely drop it and replace it with something else at the same price point. Quality is not an issue. John goes on, I spent 22 years working at a Fortune 200 manufacturer that sells products at big box stores, and I've seen plenty of examples of profit, not quality, driving the business. On the other hand, your locally owned and operated brick and mortar health food or herbal supplement store lives and dies on customer satisfaction. A couple of complaints or lost customers can influence their reputation and is significant to them, so they can't afford to sell subpar products. Bonuses include staff that usually are very knowledgeable about their products and the ability to talk directly to the owner. Oh, and the fact that more of your money stays in your local community instead of some faraway corporate office. A lot of good points in there.
Yeah, well, a lot of good points. But let me clarify that.
Sure.
When it comes to supplements, the issue is, are you getting what the label says?
Because they're not regulated by the FDA.
It's not who sells it. So it's not regulated. Now, vitamins are regulated by the FDA.
Okay.
So when it says multivitamins, it's regulated by the FDA. So what I recommend with a vitamin, if it says USP, which is US Pharmacopoeia, that means it also meets a higher standard that has to do with how the capsule or tablet basically dissolves in your stomach. So vitamins are regulated by the FDA. Supplements are not.
Right.
So when I talk about big box stores, it's not that I'm for big box stores, but it's that they're going to stand behind it. If you look at Costco, Walgreens, CVS, any one of those, if you look at their name brand, they want to make sure that if all of a sudden somebody does an analysis of their particular brand of, we'll say, fish oil, and it doesn't have the right amount of fish oil, they're more likely to make sure internally that they will do that. So that's part of the issue. Now, Let's go to a local health food store. I totally agree. You often have people there who are quite knowledgeable, but they may not be that knowledgeable about what's inside their product because they have a price point that they buy a product for, and then they want to sell it. So it may have a certain label, maybe from a certain company. They may have a certain discount because my parents were in, we had a mom and pop Ben Franklin store. And so I remember my father would get, all of a sudden, he would get a certain product in the store because he was able to get it at a lesser price. Mm. You know, so he was able to make more profit, mm-hmm. which is important. So the bottom line is this. If you're going to buy a supplement, go to consumerlab.com, pay your $25 or $30 for the year, look it up, and get a supplement which they have tested that shows that you're getting what you pay for in the label.
And then go locally and get
it. And then go locally. Find it. That's the way to do it.
Yeah.
Now, as for his thing about keeping money in the community, I think that really is very important. On the other hand, if you don't want to go to consumerlab.com and you go to a big box store, they are more likely to stand behind that name. And so you're more likely to actually get what you pay for. My also thought is that no matter whether you buy supplements or vitamins, the real money is in food. Don't spend too much money on supplements. Spend more money on fresh fruits and vegetables in a variety of colors because they have micronutrients that have yet to be produced in a capsule or tablet, regardless of who produces it.
Do you disagree with the good doc?
And I'm sure you do, sometimes. Certainly in my family, they disagree with me all the time.
All the time. Just post on our Facebook page or send us an email at
Zorba@WPR.org.
Much more of the show to come. We'll have more of your calls. We'll tackle another interesting health topic and more of your voicemails as well. So stick around and keep that radio dialed right here on Zorba Pastor on Your Health from PRX. Carl Christensen in the studio with Dr. Zorba Pastor. The number to call anytime with your healthy living question is 800-462-7413. That's 1-800-462-7413. All right, Zorba, before we get back to those phone calls, I'm going to set the scene for you really quick.
Got it.
All right, it's mid-afternoon.
Okay.
You're full from lunch.
That's right.
It's a nice day.
I've had too much.
No, you're feeling okay.
Oh, I'm feeling
you feel
okay.
Satiated.
Okay.
You're feeling good.
Yeah.
You're starting to maybe feel a little drowsy.
Yeah. 1:30, 1:50.
Should you take a nap? Should you give in to a nap?
I love naps.
So there's research. Are naps good for you at all?
Naps are good for you.
They are.
I love naps. There's a certain amount of time. I used to nap when I worked full time at my office. There are times that I would nap.
In a chair, or did you have a little cot?
No,
or something?
I have a doctor's office, so I would get on one of the benches. You know, that
would
I
you roll
patient.
Out the butcher paper and put it? I love talking about that butcher paper.
And sit down on the butcher paper. I would just nap. You know, that was a big issue because sometimes I would get tired at the end of the morning.
Right.
But naps are good. But the issue is a nap good? And if so, how long should the nap be? So as we know, in some cultures, certainly in cultures like in Spain and France, taking a nap in the middle of the day is something that's common. And then, of course, they shut their office or whatever, and then they work well into the evening, the beginning of the evening.
Sure.
Whereas we don't do that. And in an industrialized society, that's one of the things that developed back probably in around the 1860s, 1880s, when you had people work, you wanted them to come to their factory, work. You never set up naps.
Mm-hmm.
You had to work long hours,
right.
And then you went home and went to sleep. So we got out of the napping as societies were more industrialized, which tended to be in Northern Europe and northern part of the U.S. Anyway. A brief nap, this was a recent study in Science Advances, looked at whether or not people who took a nap were better at math. So if they took a nap and then they gave them some math to do, you know, were they likely to figure out the math problem? And it turned out people who napped were able to figure out the math problem better.
Hmm.
But I don't know about you, but I don't do math problems in the middle of the day. So I don't know how much that does with my thinking. But napping is strongest for people who are sleep deficient.
Okay.
So in other words, if you only get 6 hours of sleep, or if you're a shift worker, napping is really important. How many hours of sleep do you get a night?
Oh, if I get six, that's a nice night for me. So I should probably be napping.
What time do you go to sleep?
That's part of the problem. Pretty late, because the kids go to bed. And
what time do they go to bed?
They go to bed around eight or nine. Yeah. And then we get, you know, we want to watch something on the television. Yeah, and then you kind of... So I bet we could
So what time do you shut off the lights?
Like 11.
Yeah, 11. And what time do you get up?
Well, Depends on the day, really.
Depends on the day or the kids?
The kids, usually. I mean, with the kids, for sure. They get up at 6.
So they get up at 6. So you're only getting like...
Get them on the bus.
So you're getting like 6.5 hours of sleep.
Yeah. And that's if I sleep through the night, which is kind of rare. So I could maybe use a nap.
Yeah.
So can I go to sleep right now?
Yeah. Now you go to sleep right now. That's right. That's exactly. But naps, it turns out, are really good. And the ideal nap is about 20 minutes.
Wow.
That's the ideal nap.
It feels like it takes me 20 minutes to at least get down.
Well,
you know?
You may get down. What I do, and I like to take a 20-minute nap, is I set my alarm, and I set my alarm for about 25 minutes or 28 minutes, and I give myself 5 minutes to read or so, because I find that's good. Shut my eyes, and then I have an alarm to wake me up 20 minutes later. Okay. And I don't always go into a sleep. But I often do, because all of a sudden the alarm goes up and I'm startled. Mm-hmm. And so it means I really have been sleeping. But the idea is I'm resting and I'm not doing anything for those 20 minutes, and it's recharging. But if it goes on to 60 to 90 minutes, you know, in that realm, it can be distorting to your sleep at night.
Oh.
So you're getting too much during the daytime and going into too deep a sleep.
Okay.
So it can bother you at nighttime. But naps are really good if you can do it.
The power nap is the sweet spot, then.
The power nap of about 20 minutes turns out to be the sleep's, you know, the sweet spot, if you can do it. And that's really hard to work in day-to-day stuff. Mm-hmm. But frankly, with so many people working right now at home, doing a nap might be something that's much easier than it used to be when you had to travel, go into the office. So you do a lot of your work at Wisconsin Public Radio at home, right?
Right, I do.
So you could nap.
I should do this. I'm going
to
do it.
Instead of going to Facebook, you could actually do a 20-minute nap.
Okay.
So you may try it. You may see a difference.
I'll try it.
Because you are sleep deficient.
Yeah, for sure. Yep. I'll try it. Sorry, I just passed out for a second. 800-462-7413. That's 1-800-462.
The proof is in the pudding. Stan Task.
7413. All right, let's go back to the phones now. This is a caller from Jacksonville, Florida. Hi.
Hi. I have a question about, I work in a restaurant. Sometimes I forget things on my work and I skip memory and sometimes give me a hard time to work and I'm forgetting things. So, because I'm 67, going to be 68, and I'd like to know what would suggest for me to enforce my memory to get it better.
Oh, sure. What kind of things are you forgetting at work?
Sometimes I order drinks and for my guests, and I forget to pick it up. Or sometimes I just forget things just randomly, you know. So it makes it difficult for me, and it's hard. It's hard sometimes, and it just like give me some anxiety after that.
Of course. How long has it been going on for?
About 3 months.
Okay. So, a couple questions. How much sleep do you get at night?
6 hours.
Okay. So, six hours of sleep. Okay. Coffee. How much coffee do you drink?
I drink like 3 cups in the morning. Mm-hmm. And then when I'm at work, I go back to drink like another 2-3 cups.
Okay. How much alcohol do you drink every day? Alcohol, beer, wine, spirits?
Well, I stopped to drink alcohol because of that.
Okay.
I just stopped to drink alcohol.
Okay, so you stopped drinking alcohol. Meals, do you eat 3 meals a day, 2 meals a day? How's your appetite?
I do about, I eat some lunchtime, like 2 o'clock before I go to work, and then I eat after when I finish work, 7 o'clock at night.
Okay. So, and then what kind of work do you do?
I wait on tables. You wait on tables.
So you've got to remember things. Yeah. You've got to be right out there remembering things that are going. Right.
Exactly. That's, and sometimes it's embarrassing. If
right.
If you order a drink, people ask me, where's my drink?
So right, like, right. All of a sudden you've forgotten things. Another question. Any medicines that you're on?
I am an antidepressant, Wellbutrin, and then Effexor.
Wellbutrin. And you've been on that for a while, or?
Yes, for a long time, like for like 5-6 years now.
Okay. I've got a couple of suggestions. So first of all, sure. You know, you want to try to get your immediate memory better, and you've been doing this for a while. You've been in this occupation, I take it, for a long time, and you never used to forget things, right? I mean, you were...
Right.
You know,
exactly. Used to be very sharp when I was younger, but
right.
Now it's getting...
Yeah, that was your skill set. So a few things. First of all, sleep. You want to increase the amount of sleep you have. You've got to experiment with that. If you're only getting 6 hours of sleep a night, your body needs more than that. And it may be that when you were younger, you could get by with less sleep, but now you're 68 and you're older and you need a little more sleep. So you really want to get yourself at least to 7, preferably 7.5 or 8. Even if you're not actually sleeping, you're in bed, you may be reading, you're not on a computer, you're not watching TV, you can be reading, but you want to move to that 7.5, 8 hours of sleep if possible. That's number one. That's really important. Number two, I would cut down a little bit on the coffee, and I would use the coffee before I worked. So in other words, instead of having a lot of coffee in the morning, I would have more coffee during your job. Coffee is a stimulant. It's the most common drug that we use in the world is caffeine. And so what you want to do is you want to make your brain more sensitive to the caffeine. So you want to have less coffee in the morning instead of having 3 cups, or do it as decaf if you just want to drink something. And then when you're actually at work, then use the caffeine. So you'll get more of a jolt from the caffeine when you're at work. It'll be more effective. The final thing is, I would talk to your doctor about the Wellbutrin and Effexor. You've been on it for, like you said, 6 years. It may be that you need to be, at this point in your body, a smaller dose. They're both very good drugs. The Wellbutrin and Effexor are very different drugs. One's called an SNRI, and Wellbutrin is in a class by itself. They're excellent. But it may be that you don't need that dosage right now. You may need that combination, because the combination is working for you, but it may be that you should cut down on one of them, such as the Effexor, and that may improve your memory. So the drugs may be a little bit strong for your body at this moment. And so that's the third thing you can manipulate. Caffeine, like I said, when you're working, not as much in the morning. Sleep at nighttime. Try that. If those fail to work, then talk to your doctors and see about changing the Effexor and the Wellbutrin may make a difference. When do you take both drugs? Do you take them in the daytime or at nighttime?
Your antidepressant, the both of them, I take that in the morning when I get up.
So the other question is, because they're 24-hour drugs, whether or not taking them at nighttime instead of in the morning will be better for you. The timing of the drugs may also make a difference. So all these things may help affect your memory. They're not 100% because people always talk about their memories as they get older, but now you've got three things to manipulate that may help you.
Thank you, Dr. Ozova.
You take care now.
Thank you so much.
You're
Have
welcome.
A great day. Thank you. Bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Take care. 800-462-7413. That's 1-800-462-7413. All right, Zorba, let's crack open the Zorba Pastor on Your Health inbox and take a listener email. The following message came from John in Marquette, Michigan. John writes, "Hello, Dr. Pastor. I know cannabis research is limited, so I'll understand if you can't answer this question. I used to drink quite a bit, getting drunk several times a week. Then, during the first few months of the pandemic, I started getting drunk every single night. I discovered legal cannabis.
It's a lot.
It is. I discovered legal cannabis during this time and switched to THC gummies. Mm-hmm. It's been years since I've been drunk, but I do get stoned several times each week, mm-hmm. sometimes every day of the week. Mm-hmm. My question is, am I harming my health? I assume I'm doing better by drinking less, but I'm not sure. I'm 35 years old and work in an office. I'm also overweight, but I use cannabis to help me exercise as it gives me more endurance. Thanks."
Well, first of all, getting stoned or getting drunk every day is not healthy, period. Is one healthier than the other? Well, the real question is, what is it doing to your brain? So we know alcohol has issues with the liver. It can lead to liver failure, can lead to, you know, lead to cirrhosis and heart disease. We don't know what daily cannabis does because there's no research on it, you know, that's credible. Is it safer? I don't know. I don't think you can say that it's safer. You can just say it's a different inebriant. So ultimately, the real goal is to keep from getting stoned or getting drunk every day. I think that's kind of, I think I look at it as a stepwise approach. Can you reduce the number of times that you're inebriated during the week? And then after that, can you reduce that even further? And then after that, you can reduce it to something that's occasional. Can you take a stepwise approach? And that's what I would say. Now, whether or not it actually energizes you and is able to actually get you to exercise more, I think that really is an attitude issue, and you may feel like you're doing it. I certainly would not recommend people to take THC's gummies in order to exercise and go to the gym. That doesn't make sense to me. So good luck. Is one better than the other? The answer is neither one is good.
Do you have a healthy living question or tip for the good doc? Just post on our Facebook page or send us an email at
Zorba@WPR.org.
800-462-7413. That's 1-800-462-7413. All right. Before we head out today, Zorba, let's hear from your favorite hand raisers and do-gooders, the Grammar Police. Actually, Zorba, this one comes from a division of the Grammar Police we've yet to hear from. Mm-hmm. I know that's hard
never
to believe.
Hard to
I
believe.
Don't think so.
After 3 decades, I can't believe that.
Not in my
division.
Time here, I've never
a
heard
a secret
of,
division.
Yeah, yeah. I think they're really
that's right.
secretive, actually.
That's right.
This is from the Botany Police.
The Botany Police.
The Botany
I haven't
Police.
Heard about the Botany Police.
Yeah.
No? Mm-hmm.
Well, here's an email from mm-hmm. a listener named Matt of,
Matt.
The Botany Police, okay. if that's his real name, mm-hmm. who writes.
Well, they usually hide their name.
Yeah,
that's right.
For sure.
Hide their name.
For sure. From the Botany Police. You were talking about bay leaves and chewing them to help with tinnitus. Bay leaves actually come from laurel trees.
Oh.
Remember we were talking about bay
that.
Leaves and
oh,
we were, I think you said, I don't even know where they come
yeah.
from.
Oh.
Yeah. So this is, mm-hmm. the Botany yeah. Police have chimed in.
Why aren't
in.
They called laurel leaves?
Laurel, I don't know. Laurel leaves.
Leaves.
Isn't that a movie? Laurel leaves.
I was thinking of it as a poem, one of those poems you read in
it's
elementary
the first line.
School. You know,
Laurel leaves.
That's right.
Matt continues. From
it's
the geography.
It's a movie.
Yeah.
You can't say bay leaves. Bay leaves.
Bay leaves. Yeah. From the Geography Police, Whitefish Bay, this is Matt again, is in Michigan, not Wisconsin. Thanks for the show. He's wrong on that.
Whitefish Bay is not in Michigan.
I
it's
think
in
there's,
Wisconsin.
Of course, multiple Whitefish Bays. There
well,
has
they
to
may
be.
Have a Whitefish Bay, but they don't have the Whitefish Bay.
You're saying
we
the,
have
Whitefish
the Whitefish Bay,
Bay
of course.
Is Wisconsin.
The white, when you think of Whitefish Bay, what do you think of? Michigan
I think
or
of
Wisconsin?
My wife because she's from Whitefish
of
Bay.
Of course, so we know. Well, what does this have to do with bay leaves or laurel leaves?
He's the Botany Police and he's saying he's the Geography Police. I think yeah, he's
right.
he's serving in multiple factions within the Grammar Police Force.
Come on, that's right, come on. That's right.
He's wearing many hats.
That's right. Is he from the UP or something?
He was from, I don't know where he's from. I'm guessing he's from Michigan.
Yeah, of course.
Because he knows
yeah,
about
probably.
Whitefish Bay, Michigan.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you want to join the ever-growing Grammar Police Force? Just send
or
your...
Or the Geographic Police Force.
Yeah, do right. you want to join the Geography yeah. Police?
That's
send
it.
Your grievance along in an email to...
Zorba@WPR.org.
All right, should we do this again next week, Zorba?
I hope so.
Okay, sounds good.
Stay well.
I
stay
will.
Well,
you too.
Stay
you too.
Well.
If you missed anything during the show or you just want to stream the show online anytime, visit us on the web
at ZorbaPastor.org or, of course, through Facebook.
And don't forget, you can call us anytime.
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 And leave us your question at
800-462-7413.
You got that. Zorba Pastor on Your Health is a production of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is not intended as a medical diagnosis, so please do check with your doc. Our executive producer is me, Carl Christensen. Our technical director is Brad Kohlberg. Our theme music is by Leo and Ben Sidran. For Zorba Pastor, I'm Carl Christensen, asking you to join us on the next Zorba Pastor on Your Health.
Did you miss something on today's show? Simply go to ZorbaPastor.org to catch up on all things Zorba. There you will find recipes from the show, links to the Facebook page, Zorba's Healthy Living articles, and you can subscribe to the weekly podcast. On the web, that's ZorbaPastor.org.